بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. We were discussing those actions which Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has made part and parcel of the life of a believer. Over the years it became so normal that the value of the action, because understanding it that this is farz or this is just part of the day, or because man's nature is after you become used to something, you do it very fast. You would see those people who go for their first hajj, how much of ihtimam they make that every sunnah, every mustahab, I need to do it. That even the teacher of the hajj becomes irritated. And he says that certain mustahabbats, just don't worry about it, leave it, it's difficult. But the person who's going for his first hajj, he can't understand this, that I've come for hajj and he got his kitab there. That I must do this, I must do this. As for the person who's the muallim, he already knows what you can just cut off, like you don't have to do this, don't have to do this, don't have to do this. Because the person who does something for the first time, for him it's like, he will do it properly, man's nature is. Then when you become used to something, the ability you have to do it automatically drops. And you start just doing it like a casual. It was for that the ahadith were going to come. The ahadith were going to come so that man, when he reads it again and again, he's reminded that there's a lot of khair in these actions. The only thing is if the individual does it with ihsan. Sometimes it's called in the ahadith, imanu wa ihtisaban. That he does it with iman. Iman meaning this is Allah wanted it from me. That's iman. Otherwise you can't say he does it as a believer. A disbeliever is not going to do any of these actions. Iman means what he called believing in the unseen. That's like the definition of ihsan. That he understands that Allah wanted this from me. Ihtisaban, and he knows that Allah is not just telling me do it, but Allah is going to give me something for it. So in his every action, when he does it in that manner, I'm getting something. I'm pulling something. This is the khulasa of that ihsan. That Allah is looking at me, and Allah is then giving me something for it. So we spoke about adhan. First we spoke about wudu. Everyone makes wudu. That person who just makes that wuzu with a little extra thought, that my Allah loves to see me pure, my sins are falling away, his wuzu will be different. Then we spoke about the adhan. Everyone hears the adhan, but very few people properly hear the adhan. And he takes that same 2 minutes, 1 minute, the muadhin is calling, he just stops, he thinks that my Jannah certificate is being written if I just reply to the muadhin. That's my dhikr for the day. If I just reply, as he said, the work is done. If I add a little after that, my doors of dua opened up. A little respect given to the adhan. We said it's وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. We mentioned also how the muadhin should be respected. The job of the muadhin should be mumtaz, high. Perhaps we also mentioned like how the name of the muadhin, where in certain places they call him Bangi. So today Hazrat Mufti Saeed Saab told me that actually they never intended Bangi. He said in those places they actually intended Bangi. So that was like maybe the first way it started. So Bang in Urdu and Gujarati means loud. So because he was loud, they called him Bangi. And the other guy on the side, he bichara, was the Bangi. His job was to do like the dirty low works. And then half-half, they decided you get one guy in. They changed his name. So he said, the real name is Bangi, Bangi Sahab. So in Bangi there was no problem because loud it was, loud. And in Bangi there was a big problem because he wasn't loud, he was low. So the Bangi was no problem, the Bangi. The Muazzin's honor. If you can put him up high, وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. Remember seeing certain people when they would enter the masjid. Then one is the masjid has a box there. And it's written there, donations, lillah, sadaqah, whatever. One person, besides putting money in the box, he would always look, where's the muadzin? Where's the muadzin? And then he would always take out some money for the muadzin. The muadzin would also know it. So whenever this man enters the masjid, he comes to make special salam. Like, who doesn't like an extra? But he would always look for the muadzin. Meaning like on a Jummah day or something. Where's the muadzin? So sometimes we will think like it's a small thing, like what the muadzin is worrying. But as we know that the pay of the muadzin is not the highest. So any little extra. But that man who knows that when he's entering the masjid on a Friday, the muadzin is looking for him. So he knows like he's under special mercy of Almighty Allah. That even the muadzin is looking for me. If he doesn't come on a Jummah, who will meet him? Who will go to visit him? The muadzin will go. That were you sick, what happened? You weren't there for Jummah. So how he pulled, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. The only reason he honored the muadzin was adhan. Then comes to the masjid, بَابُ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَمَوَاضِعِ الصَّلَاةِ. The chapter of the masjid, because now after the adhan, you heard the muadzin. Now you will start moving towards the masjid. And the masjid itself, so it's all leading up to the salah. But when a person thinks about it, that just in the wudu, the work of Jannah has been done. Just in listening to the adhan, Jannah has been done. Then in walking to the masjid, Jannah is done. Reaching the masjid and just sitting in it, the work is done. Then when he engages in his salah is already mi'raj. Like, his entire body has been purified, his body has been made ready, his certificates have been written. So much can be done just in one trip to the masjid. But when it becomes fast means when it becomes too natural, then man doesn't pay any attention when making wudu, he doesn't hear the adhan, he doesn't even know he went for the salah. He doesn't remember even performing the salah, but he did it all. Allah Ta'ala in His kindness still gives the reward. And in Jannah, man will find all of that. But in this world, he'll always find, I'm missing something. And as the zamana has become such now of evil, where evil now its rays are going in everything. Through the phone, its rays are coming. Through the food, its rays are coming. Whatever rays they want to call it. You can call it black magic. You want to call it satanic rays. You want to call it the attraction of evil. Where the person says he's just hooked or addicted or he has become like a zombie. So when you ask like what made him, you will say there's rays in the air. That now what he's using, the appliances, the machines, the gadgets, everything got its own pull. So when he's stuck in this year, he needs something to pull him out. Now what will pull him out? It is called spiritual rays. That he has to walk into a clear environment to wipe away the poison of the filthy environment. And if he doesn't allow that to happen, then slowly shaitani thoughts start gathering. The heart starts becoming more and more black. The person always had shaitani waswasa, who doesn't have? When shaitan blows, but paying attention to the waswasa, that happens when the person is not being cleansed every day. That's when they start paying attention and they say, it makes sense, but this doubt. This question makes sense. Then the person says, I asked so many ulama, no one could give me the answer. Another person will say, I also got doubts for years, no one can give me the answer. But I left it, Allah will answer me one day. And the other person says, no, I'm not leaving it. As long as I don't get an answer, I'm not reading my salah. What was the difference between the two? One ignored the doubt, the other one accepted the doubt. It's because one stayed in an environment of dirt and never have someone to wash him. Say that one person, his job was to always work with what is called filth and dirt, to pick up the dirt, the soil, stool. And the first time when you go in those areas, you just feel like uncomfortable. You can just smell it. You feel like getting sick. But the man who works there, after a while that smell becomes to him like itar. Because every day he picks it up, it becomes normal. So for whatever reason, one day when he was walking, something happened and he fell. When you fall, you like faint and you bang your head and you're unconscious. And man's nature is when you run to someone who's unconscious and first you slap him 1-2 times to say, wake up, wake up. And then you try and put something by his nose so he can smell something. So as they're pulling now, they said, get something for him. So they pull some ether and they're putting it by the nose. But where he is going to wake up for ether? So his one friend walking past saw him unconscious. He said, what you all doing? He said, trying to get him up. He says, this man, he'll never wake up for ether. He said, bring some stool. So as soon as he put it, he said, this is for him ether. For some people, that is the ether. Like he woke up, his eyes, what happened? For some people, when the environment becomes so filthy, that even when a man smells something that's pure, he's put off. He knows that because for so long he has not taken a ghusl, a bath, his nature has now become filthy. For him to be purified is very hard. Because whenever you put him in a clean environment, he feels uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. That person, even if he goes for Hajj and Umrah, he has to be forced to stay in the haram. Otherwise, he wants to rather stay in the room. I'd rather stay in the shops. Let's go touring. That individual, even in the haram, and some people ask, how can a person be so close to Masjidul Haram and still when he hears there's a club taking place, then you find him Thursday night in the club, he's not going to the masjid. And another man is traveling so many hours, as soon as he reaches here, I'm going to the masjid. You say, one man for so many years, they were sent to study in America and in Europe. They stayed in an environment of dirt for so long, that now when they put right next to the Kaaba also, they can't enjoy until they smell stool. But because of years and years being kept in a filthy environment, now the environment of the haram is not going to pull them. So the chapter of the masajid, whoever will show honor to the masjid. In the masajid, the first masjid that's honor is given is what is called the house of Allah. Baytullah and the area what we call the haram. The asal haram. Thereafter, the second is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. Al-Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then is Al-Aqsa. And after that, there is the masajid of the world, which are all on an equal. All on an equal. A little extra fadilat was mentioned for Quba. That is based on certain other reasons. But these three masajid. With regards to the masajid, there are so many narrations. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah in his kindness, he made the whole world for me a masjid. One is a masjid that wherever you are, and the time of salah has come, wherever you are, you can perform your salah. The whole world, he said, has been made for me a masjid. Whereas in the past, when the time of worshipping Allah came, you had to go towards a structure. It had to be a structure built for the purpose of worship. For this ummah, wherever you put your musalla, with musalla, without musalla, that area becomes that I have made this reserved for you now. It is between you and your Allah. And it's a very big honor this. We might find when you are musafir, like it's, just to read namaz as a musafir is not easy. Because to look, where must I read my salah? What an honor it is that the answer is, wherever you read, we'll make that place Mubarak. Wherever you read. Meaning, you don't have to go, look, we'll look for you. You just say, Allahu Akbar, and that entire place becomes a zone. Whereas in the past, it was not. The place had to first be made a zone. And he said, there if you go and you put your salah, it'll be accepted. Yeah, it is where your salah is, we already make that place Mubarak. And if that place is then made, selected, recorded as a masjid, in the haram, around the haram of Makkah Mukarramah, look at this narration where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah made for me the entire earth as a masjid, place of sajda. It can also be read as masjid. And how amazing it was that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life in Medina Munawwara, wherever he moved, and wherever he did something of significance, in the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimullah, he was told, mark those places. Like, where Allah's Nabi did something, what we call sirat. Now, what's the best way to mark it? They said the best way to mark it is to put up a masjid. So wherever Allah's Nabi did something, he said, Allah made the earth for me a masjid. I reached here, it became a masjid. I reached there, it became a masjid. I made dua here, it became a masjid. I lifted up my hands here, it became a masjid. That also was unique. And in that day, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala made it for the pious people of this ummah also. That in many places, when you'll ask what happened in the spot, a masjid came up. They say, one unique thing happened here. You know, this one jamaat came, they stayed here. This one wali of Allah came, he stayed over here. The day the entire area changed, they said, this place is the masjid. In Surah Kahf, that was the indication. That when those boys went back in the cave now, they said, how to remember them? So one group said, let us put up something to remember them. The other group said, let us rather put something to remember the one who they used to remember. So the nice ibarat they say, one is they say, imarat bara'e imarat. Imarat bara'e imarat. A building that is put up, a structure for the purpose of it being a structure. We call it a statue. Imarat bara'e imarat. A building which is just put up to be a building. Now you will just look at it and you will say like something happened. And he says the second was imarat bara'e ibadat. That the structure was put up so Allah could be worshipped. And whenever you would enter it, you will see that man's name. You will see bayade in the remembrance of so and so. So in this manner also Allah Ta'ala made it. Wherever the people would do something of significance, remembrance, people later on will say, put up a masjid. Put up a madrasa and imarat bara'i ibadat. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ So much of fadilat was given to put up these masajid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ مَسْجِدًا Who will build for Allah, Allah will build for him. Who will build for Allah, Allah will build for him. But the first masjid that honor must be given is what is known as the Baytullah. And thereafter that love and desire must be that I must become a masjidi. Masjidi means a day in my life must come when I'm young and I can be shabun qalbuhu muallakum bil masajid. Because in the ahadith it comes those under the shade of Almighty Allah. One is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. And one is rajulun qalbuhu muallakum bil masajid. Now imagine you can be shabun qalbuhu muallakum bil masajid. But normally it doesn't happen because a youngster, he got a lot of works. So the thought must be at least a day must come in my life where I become a masjidi. Masjidi means that man whose heart is attached to the masjid. In the ahadith is described in this way. Abu Dharr radiallahu anh said to his son, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, liyakun. So here he wanted that the young son must get it. That you mustn't just be the rajulun qalbuhu, you must be shabun qalbuhu muallakum bil masajid. Young and your heart attached to the masjid. He said, O my beloved son, liyakunil masjidu baytaka. How wonderful it will be if the masjid becomes your house. لِيَكُنْ الْمَسْجِدُ بَيْتَكَ While we hear this, all of us make this desire, this intention, Allah, one day the masjid must be my house. There are those people, as they get older then, or those whose wives pass away, a time comes that they even say, I don't need a house. Because to look after the house itself is a job. There's one friend, due to us reasons, he could not be married. He got married and the divorce took place. So now instead of staying in a house and going to work, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala inspired him what job he took. He went looking for the work of being a muadhin. The masjid became his house. Liyakun. I met him the other day. I said, you're living in this town? He said, no, I live here. I said, what do you mean you live here? He said, I became the masjid, muadhin of the masjid. I look after a little bit this and that there and I'm the muadhin. I'm thinking, while I'm performing my salah, I say like when people would have thought about his life, like how difficult it was, he couldn't be married. I'm thinking that what we looked like, that the musibat and the difficulty and For him it was what an honor that the masjid became his house. As though Almighty Allah wanted to say to him, for you, you must not get involved with anything of this dunya. I'll cut you away from the world, you come to the house. The masjid became his house. لِيَكُنْ الْمَسْجِدُ بَيْتَكَ. Let the masjid become your house. He said, for I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, الْمَسَاجِدُ بُيُوتُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The masjid is the house of those who fear Almighty Allah. فَمَنْ يَكُنْ الْمَسْجِدُ بَيْتَهُ. Whoever the masjid becomes his house, تَدَمَّنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ الرَّوْحَ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. Almighty Allah takes the responsibility to keep him under his most choicest, most amazing blessings. وَالْجَوَازَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Almighty Allah takes it upon himself to see that he crosses the sirat ila al-jannati until he reaches paradise. Abdurrahman ibn Maqil says, we used to mention amongst ourselves, anna al-masjida hisnun hasinun min ash-shaytan. The strongest fort against the devil is the masjid. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would say, the masjid is the house of Allah on earth. Wa haqqun ala al-mazur. A yukrima zaira. And it is only right that the host must honor the guest. So if you are in the house of Allah, you the guest, Almighty Allah will see to your honor. So this is that the day must come in our life where the masjid becomes our house. Most of our time spent. People when they say, where you'll find him? Say, you'll find him in the masjid. Allah bring that time. Mm-hmm. Until that day, we have this time where when you find those occasions to enter the masjid, don't let it just be an in and out thing. When you reach that door, that first dua that is read before entering is to already tell you where you're going. The first one is the house of Allah, Makkah Mukarrama. So in these few minutes, I will just explain this one, and inshallah Allah allow us to speak a little bit detail in the future. There is some fadilat, some honor which the house of Allah, the Kaaba, in the area around the Kaaba, which we will call Al-Masjidul Haram, has over the rest of the world's masajid. For which reason, whether a person is entering to make tawaf, or he's entering to perform salah, or he is just going to enter and look towards the Kaaba. In the ahadith it is mentioned, every day for the Kaaba is 100 selected mercies. Meaning that doesn't go anywhere else. The wording in the ahadith use rahmah, mercy, special mercy. The wording that's used by the akabir of the ummah was tajalli. Tajalli, like we translate it in English, effulgence, it's a high word, we'll just say waterfall. Every day there's a certain waterfall onto the house of Allah. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah, on one occasion he decided to explain what is this tajalli? So, Murna Qasim Nanatwi Rahimullah had written a kitab, Qibla Numa most likely it was called, whatever it. But Murna Qasim Nanatwi's kitabs were very small and very hard. Very small and very hard. If you purchased it also, you purchased it just to say, I got his kitab. But it was very hard to read it. You really needed to study it. And you can't read it when you're tired. You read few lines, then you say, okay, right, let's make some note what he meant. So Qari Tayyab Sahib was known as the Sharih of Murna Qasim Nanoti. It was family also. And Allah accepted him that he used to make ajib, amazing sharahs. So it was at that time when the Muslim world was going through little difficulties. And then in Egypt there was a certain conference that was being held. So in going for the conference, his mind was on this kitab. And at that conference he had to also give a khitab. So he spoke about the virtues of these lands. Of Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa. And then he spoke about the virtue of Egypt also. And how Egypt has a very big responsibility in seeing, and especially that part of Egypt, what we call now, connecting to Gaza. That period, that area which connects to Gaza. And recently we saw it for a few years when a good party took over Egypt. Then the people of Gaza started becoming very strong. Because now supplies would be reaching them very easily. And that is why the governments then immediately had to be overthrown. in a manner that up till now the world can't explain how you overthrew a, what they call legitimate government. I don't know if you all remember that era of Muhammad Mursi, but whoever saw it or heard about it, it was a time where in the world perhaps the first time the president of a country was staying in a flat. So he used to have his own flat. It was the first time in the world where the president of a country, his sister falls sick and they need to take her to another hospital, but the helicopter is needed for that. And he says, I can't afford a helicopter. Now, president can't afford a helicopter. You just bring any helicopter. He said, I can't afford it. He said, we'll just use of the state. He said, you can't use the state things for my family members. First time in history. The president is a hafiz of Quran who's reading Quran. Like, reading a lot of Quran. He moves away from the presidential house. He moves into the flat. So he can be with the people. First time. Absolutely no problem with him. But when the problem was that you are on the borders of Gaza. So very fast they had to overthrow him. The military stepped in and everyone knew it was a farce. So, Qari Tayyab Sahib spoke about those four. But then when he came back, his desire was to write it. About the fadail of these four lands. And a very nice kitab came out in our madrasa bookshop. You'll find it. It's called Maqamat Muqaddasa. The Muqaddas, the Mubarak places. Maqamat Muqaddasa. And it's really a kitab to read. It's over 600, 700 pages. And it's a little hard to understand, but you must remember, understand it's a sharah of what Qari Tayyab Qasim Nanotwi wrote in about 5-10 pages. So if you want, you can read the 5-10 pages, but I don't think you'll understand much. Or you rather read 700 pages. Or there's another book I wrote after that as a khulasa. It's called Secrets of the Holy Lands. That's like a very, very, very short explanation of his kitab. But what he wrote in the kitab is not what I wrote. Meaning what's in my kitab is very, very, very short. What you'll see in Qari Tayyab Sahib's kitab, a lot of ulum is there. A lot of ulum. Things that normally is very hard to explain. So it is a kitab that a student should take and slowly, slowly. My one friend recently, he asked for the kitab. I sent it to him. He took a picture of it. He was so happy. He said, Alhamdulillah, I got a lovely kitab to make my cupboard smart. Because he opened it perhaps, like he opened it, read a little bit, and said, hey, hard stuff, close it again. And they go back in the shelf. Whereas it's not so hard. At the beginning it's hard, but the unique thing of this kitab is it took him 10 years to write it. 10 years. As his thoughts would come. So now how, you don't have like our computers today where you just like, whenever a thought would come, then he would write on one page, little bit of the thought, and then this page you must go, yeah. This page must go with that part. This page must go with that part. Whenever the thought would come, he was writing some pages. And he would also put it in the right place. Like this must go here, connecting. When I read this, I was thinking of how like the Quran was put in the Mus'haf form. It was just pages. But there they memorized it. So it was known like in this tartib. Here there was no one memorizing what he was writing. He was just pushing pages. So he completed the kitab, it seemed, and he was maybe also thinking, I'll make a second Nazr-e-Sani over it, and whatever happened, and he fell ill, and he passed away. In the room that he passed away, this kitab was there, but it was all papers. So because when he passed away, they were moving everything, even those papers got moved. And normally when you have a whole stack of papers and it moves, it just pushed one side, but now everything out of tartib, and left one side. Then after everything was settled down, then he get his kitabs done and years passed. And then the eye fell on this, like, that this was like the last kitab that he was writing over 10 years. It's only right that this kitab must be completed. But now when you're trying to complete it, you don't know where's page 1 and where's page 5 and where's page 10. Now you're reading a page and you have to think, where will this page go? So again, then Allah created, they found an alim who they gave him the job. Imagine how much he had to read and remember. And then he like said, okay, this will be page 1, this will be page 2, this must join there, this must. So when you see this kitab, you think about the amount of effort that went into it. Maqamat Muqaddasa. But in that he explained very beautifully about the haram. And how when a person goes for Hajj and Umrah, then what his thought must be as he's reaching. So at the beginning when we did this kitab years ago, Then over many Jummas we spoke about this here, the secrets of the Holy Land, so that Qasit became famous at that time. And many people who went for Hajj and Umrah after that, like they did mention that this was like a different Hajj or a different Umrah. It was the first time we saw the Kaaba for what it is. Otherwise we were making the Umrah, but we never saw like the Kaaba. So inshallah, in the next few weeks, we'll try and explain a little of this kitab. What was the secret of the Holy Land in the manner that he mentioned? As we mentioned this, we all make this intention that Allah again and again take us to this Mubarak lands. And with that real ihsan and ihsas of this lands, why it's so important to know it and to be able to explain to people about it is because in the next few years, a lot of people will make tawaf. Or a lot of people will go for Hajj and Umrah. But how it was in the past, when you're going for Hajj and Umrah, you can only go to the Haram. You could not explore. Now the opposite is going to happen. That the cheaper visa is called the tourist visa. So a Umrah becomes sideline. When you'll ask the person, you went to the Haram, he said, also. You went to the Haram, means I also saw the Haram. So you said you went for 10 days. He said, yeah, 2 days was Makkah. And then the other days I went, hey, lovely masjids in this town and in this town. He said, you saw the masjid of Taif. You saw in Jeddah, what a smart masjid. So as soon as you hear that, now obviously he's not going to tell you, you saw the beach, how smart the beach is. But the fact that he started going to explore the other masajid, it's because he was unaware that there was something in this masjid which you're not going to get anywhere else. And the enemy needed to take you away from this masjid everywhere else. Even if they could send you to another masjid. And you would say, what a smart masjid. Hey, what a good reader. I was there, I spent 3 days in Jeddah. You know, what a lovely masjid. Then you understood that your Umrah, however, you missed it. That you could have visited any time in your life. But when you went for Umrah, what pulled you away from the masjid? It was just that you never understood what the masjid was. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us real qadr of these Mubarak areas, especially the house of Almighty Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.